Let's pray. Father, we come before you and we thank you for this time, this opportunity to hear from you. We place it into your hands and we ask that you do your will with it. Whatever's from you, let it find a home in our hearts. Whatever's not, please just let it go its own way. In Jesus' name, amen. For the past few weeks, we've been looking at the Lord's Prayer as it is found in Matthew chapter 6. And this morning, we come to verses 11 and 12, which say, "Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors." These two verses contain two qualified requests from God to do something for us. They are petitions with conditions. I find it interesting that in this prayer, the conditions are placed by the ones praying, us, not by the one who is answering, God. With these two petitions, we ask for things with clearly established self-imposed limits on them. Both of these requests also receive further explanation and clarification from Jesus after the prayer concludes. After the prayer is done, he explains these two verses. This morning, I want to take a look at both of these verses by examining the qualifiers in each. I will begin by examining the latter one first. Verse 12, "And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors." As I've already addressed the topic of prayer and forgiveness in great detail about 8 weeks ago when examining God's conditions for our prayers being heard and answered by him, I will limit my offering on this subject this morning to a brief summary, brief being relative to the person who says it, and then I will return to the verse 11 and our daily bread. In verse 12, we collectively ask God to deal with our sin by meeting our universal need for forgiveness. Everyone here needs it. We ask him to do what we cannot do, save us from what we are and what we've done. But we place a condition on this petition that limits its scope. We ask God to forgive us, but only to the degree that we have forgiven others for the wrongs they've done to us. Before we bring to God what we need of him, we proclaim that we have first addressed what others need from us. Not just those who deserve it or request it, but all those who need it. By declaring this condition for forgiveness when we pray this prayer, we both recognize and proclaim that we fully understand that grace demands grace in return. It's not optional. This verse is so important that it gets a detailed explanation immediately after the prayer is concluded, so that the principle behind what we are praying for would be completely understood. Jesus tells us this in verses 14 through 15 of chapter 6 of Matthew. "For if you forgive others for their transgression, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions." Will not. Let that sink into your hearts and minds, and let it challenge your theology a little bit. To be honest, I don't want God to forgive me as I forgive others. I want him to forgive me more than I forgive others. I don't want my own heart to judge me or sentence me. I want him to forgive me first, and then having his unwarranted grace burden my conscience until I'm forced to relent and forgive because I have been forgiven, not because I need to do so in order to be forgiven. I want to get, then give, not give, then get. It's human nature. Remember, Jesus is teaching us what we should pray for here and how we should pray for it. God is telling us what he wants to hear from us regarding forgiveness. When we pray this verse every Sunday, almost every Sunday, we proclaim a principle, decree that this church has an understanding of a divine standard and that we agree with it. When we pray this, we are acknowledging, we understand that this is the will of God. Remember, then we've just asked for his will to be done here on earth as it is in heaven. That was the line before. To be fulfilled in our lives. And then we pray this. This prayer we pray every week, this prayer that God taught us to pray to him, what he wants to hear from us, is a template for Christian maturity. You should start seeing this by now. These few short words are very deep, both in what we know and what we do. This prayer and this verse are not easy to live up to. They represent where I want and need to be, maybe more than they proclaim where I actually am. Our words may not be an accurate account of where we are, but they are an accurate depiction of where He wants us to be and where we are destined to go. They are an acknowledgement of what should be as much as they are a statement of what is. The goal of Christian maturity, what is most pleasing to God, is to forgive others simply because they desperately need you to do it, even if they don't acknowledge it or even know that they need it. Proving that you are more than covered by His blood, you have been conformed to the image of Christ, and you are becoming like Him. When you do the things that God does, you are proving who you are and whose you are. The sweetest prayer I have ever heard came from my mother's lips the day before she died. Father, forgive everyone who has ever sinned against me. Let it go. Don't hold it against them. She didn't ask for her own forgiveness. She didn't have to. It was done when she forgave others. On that day, I understood the power of this verse, and I saw it come alive in my mother's labored and quiet plea for others. Such is the depth of verse 12 of chapter 6 of the book of Matthew. Verse 11, this day's bread. In verse 11, we ask God to physically sustain us, a lot of what my brother said this morning. To meet the conditions of our survival, the conditions that He, as our Creator, created. He established the conditions. With these seven words, we not only indicate that we understand where and who our bread comes from, we place two self-imposed caveats within the request for sustenance that purposely limit the scope of our request regarding how much and what He supplies us with. It says, give us this day our daily bread. Every week we ask God to supply only what we need for today, and we proclaim that we understand what we need is bread. Consider what we don't ask for here. We don't ask for abundance. We don't ask for luxury. As both quantity and quality are limited by our own words when we make this request. The first of them, quantity, today's bread. I pray these words just about every week, and in reality, I honestly don't mean them, asking God to limit what He gives me. I want God to give me so much bread, I don't have to pray for it, or think about it tomorrow, or the next day, or ever again. I don't want to ever worry about my sustenance. Problem is, my worry over my sustenance is not compatible with the theology I proclaim. In theory, when I pray these words, I'm stating I will not worry about my food because I have asked God to supply what I need. I'm stating my faith and when I need it. I shouldn't need more than that to have peace. This verse proclaims that I should be at peace, even if it's not always what I'm at peace with. It proclaims the standard, if not the accomplishment. And every time I pray it, it challenges my faith and my spiritual maturity. Just as He did with verse 12, this verse also gets a post-prayer attention from Jesus. A further explanation of why we should pray what He just told us to pray. Matthew 6, 25 through 26. For this reason, I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on it. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds in the air. They do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, yet our Heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worthy much more than they? Jesus tells us why we should not worry, but have faith that He will provide what we need day to day. Faith for today, faith for right now. He asks rhetorically, are you not more valuable than the birds? It is said as a matter of fact, as a thing we should already know and understand, a thing that should go without saying, but needs to be said anyway. A thing we should already know because He already told us it was so. Psalms 104, 27 through 28, He tells us that He does care for His creation. Speaking of the animals, great and small, it says, they all wait for you to give them their food in due season. You give to them, they gather it up, which is pretty much the template for our lives. God gives, we do the work and gather it up. You open your hand, they are satisfied with good. In Matthew 10, 29 through 31, he goes the other part of the statement, that yes, I care for the birds, but I care for you more. Are not two sparrows sold for a cent? And yet one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But the very hairs on your head are all numbered. So do not fear. You are more valuable than many sparrows. At least three or four. Matthew 6, 31 through 34. Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat? Or what will we drink? What will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need these things. Of course he knows. He's the one who created you. He created the need. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. We pray, give us this day's bread, because we trust God. We have faith in him. Three times in these verses, Jesus tells us not to worry about what you need to live. Not because you have so much, but because God loves you so much. The only thing that should ever ease your worry over need is your understanding that your Father knows you need it. Concern yourself with the matters of his kingdom, and he will concern himself with the matters of your life. That's what he promises. Daily bread is also connected with and adds to the meaning of the verse that follows it. Lead us not into temptation, because there is such a thing as too much. There is a true underlying danger within unfettered abundance, deep within my heart's desires for more. God knows this, and that is why he instructed us to pray for daily sustenance. Proverbs 30, 8 through 9 says this, a plea, keep deception and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is my portion, specifically mine. Because what is my portion may not be yours. What would hurt me is too much may not hurt you. That I may not be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or that I will want and steal and profane the name of my God. As I said, there is such a thing as too much. Here the writer asks God to portion out what God gives him physically so that it will not harm him spiritually. The author, most likely Solomon, understands that when we don't need God physically, we tend to forget him spiritually. Protect me from me by limiting my quantity of what you've given me. Provide for me physically what will not harm me spiritually. Give me my daily bread, my portion. When we pray for our daily bread, we ask for what Solomon requested from God centuries before, and we ask for it collectively. Do this for all of us, Lord. Give us exactly what we need today. God's people should be familiar with the concept of bread for just today, as we've been taught it before in Scripture. The concept plays out over several chapters in the Old Testament regarding Israel and their food in the wilderness. Exodus 16, 15 through 21. They were grumbling that they were hungry, that they had no bread. And they were saying, we were better off in Egypt. The same people that prayed, Lord, take us out of Egypt. Prayed, Lord, let us go back to Egypt, because we don't have what we had there. When the sons of Israel saw it, they said to one another, what is it? Because the Lord heard their prayers and sent them manna, bread from heaven. The manna shows up, and they go, what is this? Moses said to them, it is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat. This is what you prayed for. This is what the Lord has commanded, gather it. Every man as much as he should eat. Some of us have a problem with that concept. You shall take an omer apiece according to the number of persons each of you has in his tent. One omer for each person in your family. The sons of Israel did so, and some gathered much and some little. When they measured it with an omer, he who had gathered much had no excess, and he who had gathered little had no lack. Every man gathered as much as he should eat. It worked out just perfectly, exactly what they needed. Moses said to them, let no man leave any of it until morning. In other words, don't squirrel it away and don't prepare for tomorrow's needs with it. But they did not listen to Moses. and some left part of it until morning. And it bred worms and became foul, and Moses was angry with them. They gathered it morning by morning, every man as much as he should eat, but when the sun grew hot, it would melt away. God did for Israel exactly what we ask him to do for us when we pray, give us this day's bread. Provide our physical needs while protecting us from our own pride. Each day, God provides his people with manna for that day only, a thing they did not request, a thing that they didn't understand that was even the bread they needed. So often God brings you what you need in a way that you don't understand, that you didn't even see it coming, you didn't recognize it when it showed up. God gave them exactly what they needed, not what they wanted, because what they wanted would cause them to forget him. Now, the quality of what he gives us, bread. I'm not sure how many times I've prayed for God to give me my bread, but most of the time, to be honest, I don't really mean it. I've prayed for it because he told me so, and it's what everybody else was praying. I want more than bread. But if it must be bread, I want the bread I like. I want my bread to be topped with pepperoni and mushrooms, delivered hot to my door in a box shaped like a pizza. Thing is, God never promised me pizza. He told me to pray for bread. When I pray these words, I am praying for what he promised and nothing more. Philippians 4:17 tells us that God will supply all of our needs. Psalms 23 doesn't tell me that I will get everything I want. It just tells me I shall not want. 2 Corinthians 9:8 tells us that we will have sufficiency for all things. While Psalms 55:22 tells us that God will sustain us. Sustained with sufficiency. Just enough to get by. Guaranteed. That doesn't sound very appealing. Even something I want to pray for. That is until I'm not sustained. Or until I lack sufficiency to meet my needs. Because I don't value bread until I have none. Then the words of this prayer gain great meaning. When we have everything we need, we tend to get a little cocky. We tend to forget God. God is well aware of our tendency to value him just as much as we need him. Giving us just what we need, bread, to protect us from our pride. And every one of us in our lives will have to come to the point where we will be lacking in bread and have to turn to him. Each of us in our turn, in one way or another, will have to turn to him for sustenance at some point in your life. It'll work its way through our congregation, and we will have to respond, and we will have to understand what God is doing. Deuteronomy 8:3, he humbled you and let you be hungry. Think about that. He humbled you. He let you be hungry. He caused it. And fed you with manna, which you did not know, that your fathers did not know, that he might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The great principle is this: the spiritual far outweighs the physical. God created the needs in their lives just so he could meet it, stop them from being consumed by their own pride. However, once the need was met, once the hunger was forgotten, their gratitude turned into attitude. God already knows what we all must learn. The spiritual is far more important than the physical. He fed them with manna for a reason. Numbers 11:4-6. The rabble who were among them had greedy desires, and also the sons of Israel wept again and said, "Who will give us meat to eat?" This occurs after they get the manna. We remember the fish which we used to eat free in Egypt, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. Now our appetite is gone. There is nothing at all to look at except this manna. Nothing but bread. The people who had complained there was no bread are now complaining that there's only bread. God hears them, and God responds. Numbers 11:18-20. Say to the people, consecrate yourselves for tomorrow, and you shall eat meat. You have wept in the ears of the Lord, saying, "Oh, that someone would give us meat to eat, for we were well off in Egypt. These were the people who prayed for deliverance from Egypt. Therefore, the Lord will give you meat, and you shall eat. You shall eat, not one day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, nor 10 days, nor 20 days, but a whole month, until it comes out of your nostrils and becomes loathsome to you, until you gag on it. Because you have rejected the Lord who is among you, and have wept before him, saying, why did we ever leave Egypt? Why did we ever listen to you? Look what it has cost me. You ever do that? You ever look around and see how somebody else is doing, and you did everything right and they're doing better than you? Did you ever say, why did I ever leave Egypt? I have. Later in verses 32 through 34, when the quail arrived, the people gathered all they could, and they began to gorge themselves. And it says, while the meat was still in their teeth, before they could swallow it, God struck them dead. And the place was called Where the Greedy Are Buried. Brothers and sisters, the reason Jesus taught us to pray for just what we need, just for bread, is because what we desire will consume us if left unchecked. Well, what we need will sustain us. It will never be enough. We will always want more. We will always want better. And we will eventually weigh what our obedience has cost us and find it lacking. And we will want to return to the captivity of our desires over the truth of God. We will reject the Lord and say, why have I ever left the pleasures of Egypt for the bread of God? When we pray, give us this day our daily bread, we are asking God to keep us from this sin as much as we are asking him to feed us. Keep me content with what you give me, Lord. When you pray verse 11 every Sunday morning, remember those in Scripture who rejected God's will for their lives simply because they wanted finer dining. And remember God's response to them. Because what angered him then angers him today. Be content with God's will for your life. You cannot come up with anything better. 1 Timothy 6:6-8 says this, but godliness actually is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. What Israel didn't have. When you read this, think about them and what they did. For we have brought nothing into this world, so we cannot take anything out of it either. If we have food and covering, with these we shall be content. Godliness is great gain only when you're content with it. If you obey God, if you live in spiritual righteousness, but then complain about what it cost you physically, you gain nothing. You wasted your time. Look what I've done for you, Lord. And I still only get bread from you? And only enough for today? Why is it so hard? Those who don't follow you have it so much better, Lord. I'm going to go back to Egypt. You're not worth following. Add these things to me, then I will seek the kingdom of God. Getting just enough bread for today makes us see this in ourselves. It makes us face ourselves. It teaches us what is in our hearts so it can be changed, so that we can be conformed to his image, so that we can become like Christ. He knows the plan he has for you. And part of that is giving you bread for today. Philippians 4:11 says, not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstance I am in. We learn to be content. It's not our natural state with what he has promised us. We have no want, because we want nothing but what he gives us. This prayer is asking God to teach us to be content with both the quality and the quantity that He provides for us. To seek first the kingdom of God. And then you really won't care what's added to it. Think about this the next time you pray this. Amen.